Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We'll have the Travis Frederick Show coming up at 1:15, Kevin. About 1:20, we'll be talking with him. They just got done getting some work done on the field for practice, and so he'll be able to do that. Everything's kind of changing around this week as the Thursday night game kind of reshuffles. Like Jason Garrett said this morning, this is basically a Thursday practice.
Yeah.
So they're getting moving here. But we do have some breaking news, Kevin.
We got a lot of it.
Breaking news on 105.3 The Fan is powered by Radio.com Sports and brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today on Indeed.com/hire. Breaking news number one. Chris Peterson of Washington Huskies has decided to step down as the head coach of the Huskies following the bowl game. I believe whenever he moved from Boise State to Washington, he went before the bowl game. But he was like, look, it's a big distraction. I understand that. But it was a very quick move whenever he left Boise State and went to Washington.
Don't the Cowboys love everything that is involved with Boise State?
Absolutely.
Chris Peterson's a really good coach. I know they're kind of down this year, but the last 3 years.
And he won a Super Bowl with the Eagles.
Are you?
That's Doug Peterson.
Yeah. Are you trying to suggest that that's one of the fish in the Jerry Jones pond of head coaching potential?
All right.
Like a minnow.
I'll let you decide for yourself. At Boise State, he went 92-12. He was the head coach there, I believe, for 8 years. And in six of those 8 years, they finished top 15 in the country. Then he went to Washington, and for the last 3 years at Washington before this season, they finished top 15. And in 2016, they made it to the college football playoff. So he's done a lot of stuff with Washington.
Actually, Kevin, there's some more breaking news. Travis Frederick will be
in
about...
All right, Daddy, are you ready for the big announcement?
About 2 minutes.
Whoa! We better get to the rest of the breaking news really
well,
quickly.
Well, that was a second breaking news story, Kevin.
We got at least two more.
Two more.
Yeah.
All right, here is my
third... I need more sounders.
My third breaking news story.
Major news in the world.
Breaking news on 105.3 The Fan, powered by Radio.com Sports and brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire.
Indeed, more breaking news.
Indeed. Jerickson Profar has been traded to the Padres.
Oh!
This was reported by Robert Murray. So that is his sources say that. John Heyman has confirmed that. So there you go.
And potentially...
Heyman loves to confirm things.
Breaking news number four.
Oh, you got to do the read. Is it football or not?
It is football.
Breaking news on 105.3 The Fan, powered by Radio.com Sports and brought to you by the midsize mattress from Mercedes-Benz.
All right, Daddy, are you ready for the
Yes, I am. So a lot of people got caught up with that report that maybe Phillip Rivers could be benched instead.
Do you have another kid?
Chargers versus the Jags. Nick Foles is officially benched, and it is the Gardner Minshew era once again, ladies and gentlemen. Nick Foles is who the Jags were like, hey, let's go get him to turn the culture around. And he came back for 5 seconds after he got hurt most of the year. And they're like, we're done with you again. So it's time for the Gardner Minshew show once again.
All right. Well, there's a lot of information that we're working with. We're keeping
Holy
an ear out.
Smokes.
You guys got any more of that breaking news?
I have something interesting I want to discuss, but we're waiting on Travis.
Is it breaking?
Maybe. No. Maybe not.
Sorry, I already played it. I can't. It's got to play all the way through.
Well, Tom Brady told us that the team is 10-2, not 2-10. Do we need to hit the sounder for
that? No, we're good. we're waiting on Travis Frederick to hop down the line.
I have breaking news on the Travis Frederick thing. We got him.
All right.
Oh!
Wow.
News in the world.
So, I think, first of all, welcome to the show, Travis.
Thank you. I'm so sorry I'm late. A little extra work on the field afterwards. I didn't realize what time it was.
Travis Frederick brought to you by Dr. Pepper and Miller Lite, the only beer for the Dallas Cowboys.
What did you think about Tom Brady's breaking news last night that the Patriots are 10-2 and not 2-10? Was that shocking information to you?
No, that I didn't hear that last night. I'm just hearing now about that, but that's not shocking news. A really quality team, and they really played well throughout the season.
Now, I was curious. Obviously, people are disappointed about the outcome on Thursday, but the flip side to that is, does it how much does it kind of prop you guys up, you personally or the team in general, that all of your goals are still achievable and you're still in control of it going forward? I know people hate to hear that because of the struggles the team has had, but it is a fact.
Yeah, really, we just focus on the next game. You know, we have to win games if we're going to try and get into the playoffs. And luckily for us, we're in a position that if we continue to win games, we can put ourselves in that position to get into the playoffs. So we just put our head down and try and focus on the next one and try and get a win and get one game closer.
So yeah. You did not shoot a thank you note over to the Dolphins or anything like that?
You know, like I said, it's going to be, we're still going to have to win games. We
Fair
can't
enough.
Just lose our way out of here and hope that somebody else helps us out.
Yeah, that's not a fun way to go into the playoffs, is it? Like with the, you know, kind of backing into it, you really do want to kind of gain some steam, gain some momentum. And I don't know if confidence is lost, but it's got to be a little shaky right now.
You know, I think we in the locker room understand, you know, the kind of players that we have on the team and the kind of men that we have in the room. And I think that gives us enough confidence. You know, we're not worried about things that have happened in the past. We try and correct them. We try and get better and we try and move forward. And, you know, luckily we've seen a lot of things this season. We've had a lot of situations that we've been able to learn from, and I think that will help us, you know, towards the end of the season here and hopefully if we get into playoffs.
Yeah, and it seems like there are some guys, and I don't know where the frustration lies, Travis. Is it within yourselves, like about what you guys have done or not done physically? I don't know where that frustration is, but what kind of things have you guys done in the past to kind of combat it and turn those things around? Is it as simple as, you know, having a team gathering, hanging out? You know, what kind of things do you think you can do to build everything back up?
You know, for us, it's just about really putting your head down and going back to work. You know, just getting together and hanging out is fun, and we enjoy each other's company, but it's just not fun losing. So the best way to get that confidence back and get that good feeling back is to get a win under your belt. And so we all understand that. And so we come back out to work and we really focus in on the week and try and put ourselves in a great position to go out on Thursday and hopefully get a win.
Kevin, the idea I got right there is get out there and hit a son of a bee. That's what Travis was pretty much saying.
Oh, goodness.
There. I'll say it for him.
Wow.
But, yeah,
wow.
You're welcome.
Language. So I'm curious, you know, we're learning a lot about you, a lot more about you, the person and the football player as we go along. I understand that you have to move on quickly from a loss, but I was curious that game in particular is also on Thanksgiving. People are celebrating, doing family stuff. Does that impact you off the field immediately? I know that losses can carry with you, but when you have to segue right back into, like, hey, maybe it's a family get together or whatever, like, does that, what just happened in the game, impact the rest of, like, how you spend time with your family that day?
You know, I think it does a little bit. You know, obviously it's not a good feeling to lose, and that sticks with you because you know, we're all competitive and we want to win. But the other part of that is that we are people, well, you know, regular people, and we had a chance to spend some time with family over the weekend, and you know, it's Thanksgiving, and we're obviously thankful for the opportunity to have people that support us in our life, and you have to focus in on that and let that the bad feelings of the game go away. And I think that Thanksgiving's a great time to sort of recenter your mind because you have all of those things to focus on other than the loss, and then you watch a film, you correct it, and you got to move forward.
Last week, we had the opportunity to talk with you about the recovery process and how, you know, how long it takes for your body to kind of get back to where you want it to be. I'm curious then, how does your body feel after the Thursday game? Because you didn't necessarily get to that point where you're like ready to go. So then does it feel sorer after a Thursday game or sore?
Yeah, I think probably a little bit sorer because you're kind of stacking effects on top of each other. So you're not quite fully recovered going into that Thursday game, and then you do all of that, you know, take the beating that you take in a normal game, and stack that on top. So really you look forward to the best part about a Thursday game is that you get a little extended time before the next game. And sometimes that doesn't work out. Obviously this week we have the Thursday, but that extended week comes after that. So, you know, you continue to focus in on recovery this week and try and get yourself back to normal on this long week or normal week, I guess I should say, so that you can get ready. And then you get a little break after that.
After the game, there was an emotional locker room going on in there from what we heard. And I'm wondering, in all your history of football, I mean, go back to Pee Wee, in your history of football, have you found those types of conversations, the type that y'all had after this game, to be a positive for the team? Maybe it clears some air. Did it cause, did it change some things about the way you look at it?
And I think everybody has a different demeanor about the game of football, and I think that everybody has a different way of dealing with things. And so some people need to hear people being aggressive and loud. Some people need to be the aggressive and loud person. Some people don't want to hear it, and some people are negatively affected by it. Some people need to specifically just talk about it. So everybody's a little bit different. And so I've learned over my time in football, and I think that a lot of us have, that everyone's so different in so many different ways that you respect everybody and how they handle things, and you do your thing the way that you do. You know, it's even as simple as music. In college, we had a rule that no one could play music on a big music box because everybody had their own type of music.
Yeah.
And now sometimes one guy will have music on and everyone else will have headphones on. It's just you learn to find the situation that works best for you.
Do you feel comfortable, either personally or in terms of your status with the team, that if you felt like something needed to be said, you could stand up in front of that room and say, here's what I got to say?
You know, I think I could. That's not the way that I generally would go about it. But I feel like if I stood up and said something, I think that, you know, people would at least pretend to listen to me.
I think the best way to approach that is to...
I was listening to that.
I think the best
way... Corey was not. He was trying to move on.
I always feel like whenever you're doing something that has people questioning what you're doing while you're talking, it always kind of distracts them, and then they get hypnotized. So maybe if you're going to do that, shampoo the beard while you're talking.
Okay.
That might throw them off just a little bit to be like, I don't have a clue why he's doing that, but I got to listen.
That's possible. It could also just be a distraction that causes people not to hear what you're saying.
Ooh.
You know, they're focused so in on the shampooing that they're like, well, what is the shampoo? Oh, he talked.
Well,
what was that?
It's the use of subliminal words. That's
okay.
That's what
we're
working on.
You're trying to really get into that that subconscious. I'm with you.
This is an interesting discussion because I'm not usually one for the motivational speech, but if you did that, I would be like, this feels different in importance. So I might be in for that.
So that's where I need to go next is try and shampoo my beard in front of the team,
mm-hmm,
to try and get us to be more motivated.
Let's just see what happens, man. I'm just throwing it out there. I do have when this team, and we're always trying to fix things. That's what we do here on radio.
Really nice of you guys to help us out.
You're welcome. I'll send my notes over to the staff later. But we're always trying to work on fixing those things. And one of the trends we're seeing is the lack of turnovers on the defensive side of the ball. And I'm curious as to, from your side, having, you know, whenever you've seen an offense, whenever you've seen you guys turn a ball over, and this goes, you know, back all your years, what have you noticed? Was it something that there was a breakdown of communication? Were they planning on making a turnover like that happen? Did they see something in your offense? How's the best way for defenses to really create chaos for teams? And what can the Cowboys do better there?
Well, there's a lot of different ways that turnovers happen. You know, you have contact fumbles where you get hit really hard and the ball comes out. You got the strip attempts, obviously. You have being able to read the coverage and jump in a route or something like that. Those type of things. But there's risk involved in each of those. So you have to sort of, in the speed of the game, you have to try and balance that risk as well. You know, jumping a route, if you miss it and that guy catches it, he's going to run for a touchdown. So you have those type of things. And then you have, you know, tips and overthrows, where the ball gets tipped up in the air and you're in the right position to be able to catch that. So there's a lot of different stuff, and I know that I know our defense practices all of that and really works at it. It's a focus of theirs, and those things sort of come in bunches, in my experience. And so hopefully we're going to get on that soon.
Do you feel particularly proud if you jump on the football and never stop a turnover from happening?
No. Whenever the ball is on the ground, it's never a good thing. And generally, when an offensive lineman gets a chance to get on top of it, it's even worse. Because that means that you usually failed at your job, or one of your brothers did. You know, because it's usually a quarterback sack fumble where you're nearby, or when the running back fumbles near the line of scrimmage, it's because somebody's guy was free and he didn't see him coming or whatever it happened. So fumbles are generally just bad overall.
Now, one of the magical stories in college football this year has been the rise of the Minnesota Golden Gophers, and
gross.
I would like you to address your college football team expertly destroying any dreams they had of going any further this past weekend.
You know, I was really happy to get down and sit down and watch the game. My little brother went to the University of Minnesota, I think potentially just to spite me.
Oh, wow.
From being a Badger. So we've always had a really good rivalry about that, and last year it's always over Thanksgiving there, so my brother's down here and we all watched the game together, and last year he was very pleased, obviously, when Minnesota broke the 14 game streak, I think it was, and got the axe for the first time in his existence, I think, but when they won that game he was really happy. And so this year, getting to sit down and watch and see early on the chess battle that occurred, you know, it was back and forth, it was tight, and then, you know, just seeing the Badgers pull away and in a real Big Ten style game where it's snowing and it's cold and you're running the ball and all that, it was a great game.
Now, everybody outside of that one particular state can all agree that Ohio State is the worst. Can you guys win this weekend?
You know, I think Ohio State's a really good team. It's been fun to watch them through the year and see the way that they've played. They got a chance to play Wisconsin earlier on and you know, won that game pretty big. I will say that one of the good things that Wisconsin has going for them is that it's hard to beat a team twice in the same year. So I think, you know, that'll be on Wisconsin's side. Either way, I think it's going to be a really good game, and the Badgers are going to come ready to play.
Are you prepared in a couple weeks when I bring up what you just said when y'all rematch against the Eagles?
Sure. You bring it back. I'll spin it back to you.
Whoa, right in your face, Kevin.
Awesome.
That's my teammate right there, Travis Frederick.
Thank you so much, Travis. We appreciate it every single Monday, man.
Awesome. Well, I had a great time. Thanks, guys.
It's Travis Frederick right off the practice field.
Brought to you by Dr. Pepper and Miller Lite, the only beer for the Cowboys.
Yeah, absolutely. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, NFL clickbait, including an iconic award for some iconic Cowboys. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece, the official pregame show for the G-Bag Nation. We'll be turning things over to them. Mike Bassick's getting all invested in high school football playoffs this weekend.
Dungeville, South Lake Carroll, it's a big game.
Kevin, we're about to dive in on some NFL clickbait. Before we do, though, the story that's really interesting to me right now is Chris Peterson. He is stepping down at Washington. Jimmy Lake is going to take over at Washington right now. Peterson stays with the university in a leadership advisory role for the Husky Athletics. But the timing of this is just too interesting to me. Whenever the Cowboys are doing what they're doing and looking for maybe a big fish, that would be an interesting name. And you know what? If he was to come in to be the head coach of the Cowboys in the future, Kellen Moore has a job for as long as he's here.
Yeah,
to grow and thoroughly grow. So I'm not saying it's a done deal. I'm just saying I would keep my eyes on something like that.
And Chris Peterson does not qualify as a big fish, I think, for most fans, because I bet most fans would be like, who?
But this is a guy who...
He's a really good coach.
Remember what they did to my OU team with... they pulled out all the bags of tricks in that game.
And he got Washington to the college football playoff like 3 years ago.
And he did it over and over with Boise State because as a coach... As a great head coach, you have to be somebody who can convey your message clearly to your team and get people to buy in. And while Boise State may not have always had the best talent, they were able to put together a lot of wins over and over consistently. And that's, Kevin, that's where you say, okay, Did this guy have the recruiting avenue that led him to that, to be able to be this successful?
Nope.
Because Nick Saban does.
Yeah. So does Urban Meyer.
And so does Lincoln Riley. But Chris Peterson maybe didn't, but was able to build something very special. Also, Kevin, I saw this on a Q&A on the morning news with Mark Cuban. And they asked about interesting trades deadline situations, specifically speculating about Blake Griffin. And Mark Cuban said, I can't talk about other teams' players, but we're hard capped. So they have a number that they're kind of putting their limit on and saying, we can't make a move like that for our team. So if you're with the Mavericks right now, what they have is what it sounds like they're going to try and run with for this year.
Which is not so bad.
Yeah. And so there's a little interesting note. And again, the Mavericks are a fun thing to watch right now. Maybe must-see TV. Especially, it's Luka especially. When, can you imagine when Kristaps becomes that player? If he becomes that player, what it would be like on any given night, those two will be must-see TV. All right, Kevin, let's go around NFL clickbait and click on each story that is a big story in the NFL.
I think you're going to like this story the best.
Click.
We've talked a lot about the NFL 100. Their all-century team. Two Cowboys over the weekend made the cut. First of all, the Manster, Randy White, was here for 13 years. 9-time Pro Bowler, also a 9-time first-team All-Pro selection, which is insane. So he has made the All-100 team. Also joining him, Mr. Cowboy himself, Bob Lilly. Bob Lilly was a unanimous selection to the all-century team. You know who else was an unanimous selection? Dick Butkus, Lawrence Taylor, and Deacon Jones.
Really?
So you're talking about, like, the greatest of the great of all time, and they're like, Bob Lilly is in this group. Deacon Jones? Check. Lawrence Taylor? Check. Bob Lilly? Check. Dick Butkus? Yes. You're in the same group of all those players. So I just thought it was really cool is two more Cowboys on the team and other players to make the cut. Reggie White, Bruce Smith, Doug Atkins, Leroy Selman, Bill Hewitt, Mean Joe Green, Merlin Olsen, Buck Buchanan, John Randall. All of them are in the Hall of Fame, of course. Jack Hamm, Ted Hendricks, Bobby Bell, Derek Brooks, Jack Lambert, Ray Lewis, Junior Seau, all of them are in the Hall of Fame. So everybody who's making this team is obviously in the Hall of Fame, which probably makes sense. If you're one of the best 100 who's ever been in football, you should probably be in the Hall of Fame.
How long before we see Dak on this list, Kevin? Is there
100 years.
All right.
Because they only do this team every 100 years.
Right.
So he can't make the cut now. So
can he make it before he retires, though?
I would say no.
Say Dak had a 100-year career.
Then I feel like probably, because how did he keep getting work if he wasn't at least still good? So yeah,
Steve
so tune DeBurn. In to KNC 21-19 to see if Dak Prescott makes that team.
Click.
Now, we told you that Nick Foles had been benched for Gardner Minshew. Gardner Minshew is officially the starter now, rolling into that Chargers game, but they got a whole bunch of other problems. So, Ngakoue and Brandon Linder got in a verbal exchange after the game, and it was kind of the whole thing that we heard with right before they open up the locker room for Cowboys press. Last week, you heard people shouting and everything. Pretty much the exact same thing is those two players had to be separated right when media was walking in.
Whoa.
So Jacksonville has got all kinds of problems. Then again, they lost to Tampa Bay 28-11. So I could see how that would infuriate even the most stoic of people.
Yeah, only getting 11 points on the board against a Tampa defense that you think you can score on pretty easily. And especially like an offense that likes to turn the ball over.
Yeah.
Jameis Winston is like, hey, I'll throw an interception. I'm fine with that. Or three, whatever. I'm perfectly okay with that. But he likes to move the ball.
What do you think was the biggest NFL loss of the week?
I don't know. I really felt Cleveland had an opportunity to start propelling themselves somewhere. That loss was kind of big to me.
By the way, here's a fun Cleveland factoid for you. Over the last 5 years, when the Cleveland Browns have a 10-point or larger lead, their winning percentage is 52%.
What?
You would
they're
think
less like, they're almost less likely to win.
When they're ahead by 10 points or more, it's a coin flip. Almost. So the Browns lost to the Steelers 20-13. What probably hurts even more, one particular bettor in Vegas bet $200,000 on the Browns. So could have bought a house. Instead, all that money goes to the house.
Seriously, seriously. That Steelers team, their offense had two guys that were skill players that had more than 2 years of NFL experience. That's it. And they were tight. Both of them were their tight ends. Everybody else had no more than 2 years of experience.
If I told you Mike Tomlin should get consideration for Coach of the Year, you would say?
Absolutely.
By the way, the Steelers have a better record than we do.
Well, and that's coaching, man. Like that right there is coaching. You prepare your players for opportunities. You get them in the right mindset. Take advantage of what they do well and find out what the opponent doesn't do well.
Now,
it's very simple.
Speaking of gambling,
it's a lot more difficult than that, but even still.
Speaking of gambling, did you see Arizona Cardinals defensive back Josh Shaw over the weekend? He's been suspended through the end of the 2020 season at minimum. Not 2019, 2020 for gambling on NFL games. Because of that, the NFL over the weekend sent out a reminder of their rules about gambling. Clearly, because of the Josh Shaw situation. And essentially, they come down to this. All NFL personnel are prohibited from placing, soliciting, or facilitating any bet, whether it directly or indirectly through a third party on any NFL game, practice, or other event. What I'm really intrigued about is what kind of NFL practice bets can you get going?
Oh, man, that's a good question right there. You can do practice bets?
That's what the policy says.
Like, who's going to win in practice?
Or, like, are they going to show up? I bet you could have got some Antonio Brown heavy practice action going on.
I feel like if you're going to bet on stuff like that, you can really affect it by just calling your buddy and being like, hey, don't show up for practice. This is weird.
Oh, that's a third-party affiliation. Not okay. By the way, Freddie Kitchens had to say that the reason why they lost the game was not because a fan caught him on Instagram wearing that picture Friday night that said Pittsburgh started it on his t-shirt.
Yeah.
He was really angry when asked about that. He was like, we didn't lose because of this shirt.
But
we lost because I'm a poor coach.
But it doesn't help.
It's a direct quote.
It doesn't help whenever you're doing something like that. I mean, you really wanted to wear that shirt. You wear it after you win. That's just my approach to that, though.
Let's go to former Cleveland Browns player Terrell Pryor. Did you hear about the fascinating weekend that Terrell Pryor had where he was stabbed and then arrested?
Yeah, this is a weird story.
Did you know
story.
That getting stabbed was a crime?
That
is actually not why he got arrested.
There was a guy that shot himself in the butt. Plaxico Burress shot himself and got arrested.
Ooh, so Pryor is in stable condition. The girl, Shalala Briston, or a woman, was arrested and charged with criminal attempted homicide and aggravated assault. And prior, I guess this, what happened was it sounds like there was a domestic incident. So detectives are investigating violent crimes inside because of a dispute inside the apartment. So the thought is there might have been a domestic incident. After it was over, she stabbed him, which you can't do, but also you can't be involved in a domestic situation where there may not have been other physicality. So I just think it sounds like a horrible, horrible weekend when you get arrested, but only after you got stabbed.
Yeah, no, that's
that's pretty much the worst of the things that could go. Well, I guess he lived, so that's okay.
Yeah, no, it's a positive thing there. It's just, you know, what else are you gonna do now? You gotta recover from that.
Yeah,
you can do anything else. Kevin, I'm sorry, man.
It's really funny. He was described as an NFL free agent. Yeah, and I was like, I mean, really?
This
go ahead and retire. You're good.
Kevin, this quote right here, I was just reading up on Chris Peterson, and
you think he's gonna be the next coach of the Cowboys?
Here's the last part of one of his quotes. I'll be a Husky for life. But now is the right time for me to step away from my head coaching duties and recharge. Recharge for what?
For the pros.
It just seems like the opportunity is there, especially with what's going on with the Cowboys. And you know what? It might not even be the Cowboys. There are a bunch of NFL teams that are going to be looking for head coaches.
Maybe Cleveland Browns.
I feel like this, you know, this coach is the link with Kellen Moore. I mean, if Jerry was going to walk around and say, hey, who would be a good person to talk to? And he asked Kellen Moore, hey, what was it like playing for him? And he got a little idea and started dreaming about it. I know the dream is for Jason Garrett to get every opportunity this season to finish it out strong. But if they're really making a look, God, it just seems like the right timing for all this.
Also, Jeff Driscoll put on the injured reserve from the Lions. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. Don't forget Thursday game day this week, Cowboys Bears exclusively on the Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with the G-Bag Nation. What do they got coming up on their fine program? We'll do it next on the Fan.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!